We need sound effects for, like, when we dub something, whatever. So, like, interesting guy. He's an interesting guy. We need more sound effects in this pod.
The Dynasty Guru presents Dynasty's Child.
We're not experts, we're gurus.
That's different.
With your host, Patrick Magnus.
What loser did you bring to us this week?
Featuring King DeRocher.
Well, I did not know that.
And featuring
Jake, I don't know how to say your last name.
It's Devereaux.
Devereaux?
Devereaux.
Devereaux.
There is no N in the name.
Produced by Adam Lawler.
Hey, you guys. Hey, everybody.
Start over.
Yep, why don't you try that one more time?
What's up, nerds? Welcome to Dynasty's Child, your flagship fantasy baseball podcast with a focus on dynasty formats. I'm your host, Patrick Magnus, and I'm a writer over at the Dynasty Guru. And I'm joined, as always, by the most awake human that's ever been awake, Keaton DeRocher. How you doing, Keaton?
I am definitely awake. That is a true statement. Yeah, it's early, but I've got my tea, so we'll power through.
What's the plan for breakfast this morning?
More sleep.
More sleep. That's a good breakfast. That's the best breakfast.
Yeah.
So it's just Keaton and I today. No Jake. Jake couldn't be with us this podcast, and we have no guests. So it's just going to be us two bros hanging out and talking baseball. And mostly me, because Keaton's very sleepy. Tables are turned for once.
My, how the turntables
turn. Is that a thing? Is that a reference I should get?
Yeah, that was at The Office.
Oh. I watched the whole show. I watched the entire series. Great show. Great television. Really. Doing West Wing right now.
It is.
Have you ever watched West Wing?
You have been into West Wing for quite a while now.
Dude, it's 7 seasons long, and they're all like, it was back when, like, I don't know. I think it was back when television wasn't really planned out. And so there's a lot of episodes. There's like 20 something episodes, and they're all like written weekly. And so, like, you have these plot lines that just kind of get lost and stuff. And yeah, it's fantastic. Early like television, early 2000s. I recommend it for everyone to watch. Does that mean you haven't seen it, by the way?
I've seen a couple episodes.
You should watch.
I haven't seen
much.
It's
a commitment, but it's well worth it. All right, let's do some maintenance here. Any questions? You can submit your questions for us on Twitter at Dynasty's Child. That's at Dynasty's Child, or via email at dynastieschildpod@gmail.com. That's dynastieschildpod@gmail.com. First thing we're going to do today is go through these signings. We've actually had some major signings while we've been off. First one I would like to talk about is Yasmani Grandal. What?
I also have some maintenance. We've been getting a few questions about the song at the end of the pod, the previous pod.
Yeah.
I'm glad that people have enjoyed that. The song is Young by Barricades. So if you're interested in checking them out, you can check them out. At the end of this particular pod, however, though, our good friends, Caraway, who did our intro song and our transition tunes we've been using, dropped a new single last week called Cool. So we're going to put that at the end of this pod. So you can check out their new single at the end of the pod.
Yeah, it's pretty damn good. They're a fantastic group from Vermont, and you should all hop on their bandwagon because they're fun. And you can check them out. They have a Bandcamp where you can purchase the single for name your own price. Just search Caraway with 2 R's and Bandcamp, and it'll come right up. Also, you can check out the music video on their Facebook page as well. So. All right, now let's get to the signing, shall we? Can we, Keaton?
Yes, I will allow it.
All right, thank you, sir. Yasmani Grandal agreed to a one-year deal for $18.25 million with the Brewers. This is fun as hell. The Brewers continue to put together a really fun roster with this like sort of beer league softball mentality of dudes just wailing the ball. But also... why is what was arguably the best catcher last year signing a one-year deal? super frustrating, I think, from the player perspective. I mean, I know he was offered a four-year deal that he turned down from the Mets, but he shouldn't need to sign a one-year deal. He should be he should have been booked up for, I don't know, 4 to 5 years. But you have thoughts, Keith?
Yeah, I mean, I agree that I was surprised it was just a one-year deal. But I really love the fit with the Brewers. And kind of makes a lineup that was already pretty exciting, a little bit more exciting, and pretty deep to deal with. So they're going to mash some bombs, score a lot of runs this year. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, and he should get the lion's share of starts, too, behind the plate. He doesn't really have much competition there. They had that old dude who was kind of a hero in the playoffs. I can't remember his name for the life of me, of course, but as is what I do, not remember names or pronounce them correctly. But yeah, he should get the lion's share. He should get plenty of at-bats. He's going to hit tons of homers in Miller Park. He's an OBP machine, so we'll talk more about catchers later. But oh, I didn't tell you guys what we're going to do on the show today. Besides the signings, we're going to talk about catchers and our catcher rankings over at the Dynasty Guru.
Ranking season.
It is so much fun. Let me tell you, I never get tired of typing. Or arguing.
Hey, by the way,
yeah.
Does our pre-pro sheet here say that just Herrera's foot signed with the White Sox?
No, he had an injured foot. I don't exactly know. I can't remember what that injury was, but he had an injured foot, but he signed a 2-year deal. So it wasn't his actual foot that signed the deal. Maybe he signed it with his foot. You know, he could have signed the contract with his foot, but... no, he's just coming off injury.
Got it.
Let's jump right into that since you brought it up. Kelvin Herrera signed a 2-year deal for $18 million with the White Sox. Love that deal for them. White Sox continuing to do interesting things. I've always been a sucker for Herrera. I know he's had his struggles at times, but he was always one of my favorite relief pitchers when he was with the Kansas City Royals. He's just a solid K pitcher that is going to be, I don't know, striking batters out for the White Sox now.
Yeah, I completely agree. He's a guy that I have enjoyed since his time with the Royals as well, and feel like he's been a little bit underrated. But if he's not the closer, and Colome isn't setting up, I'm going to be really annoyed, because he deserves to be the closer there.
You think so?
I do, yeah. I'm not much of a fan of Colome.
He had a really down year last year. I mean, maybe that had something to do with the foot. he is very optimistic that he will begin spring training without any restrictions, but his K rate has fallen quite a bit. So back in 2016, I think the heyday of what we remember for Kelvin Herrera, he had a K rate of 10.75 and a walk rate of 1.5. That's pretty freaking good. ERA 2.75, FIP 2.47, XFIP 2.77. So that was a great year. But his K rate has actually steadily declined since then. Maybe he's had health issues. Steamer projections aren't all that great for him either. They're only predicting that the K rate's going to rise to a little below 9. But I think he can do better than that. I think he gets to a 9 K rate with a maybe 2 per 9 walk rate. And that's an effective pitcher, so that could be a closer for sure.
I do agree, but definitely makes the White Sox bullpen pretty interesting. Should be a good one going forward. Now, if they can sign Harper or Machado, they could actually they could make some noise.
Yeah, we'll see. That division is getting interesting. Still a fan of what the Twins have done, and Cleveland has not traded Corey Kluber, so I'm looking pretty wrong on that. We'll see what happens. But I'm going to feel pretty silly if Cleveland keeps Kluber. But that won't be the first time I've felt pretty silly on this show. All right, let's move on. Another fun sort of bullpen signing. It's not sort of, actually is a bullpen signing. David Robertson signed for a 2-year, $23 million deal with the Phillies. You think he's going to be closing out games for them? Oh, they've got Dominguez. Sir Anthony Dominguez is going to be the closer. I love that guy.
Sure. That's an interesting bullpen. Seems very top-heavy.
Yeah. What's his name? I like Hector Neris, and Arano is kind of interesting. Anyways, he's going to be a setup man, it looks like, so he'll get you plenty of holds, and if anything, you know, Sir Anthony Dominguez is a young pitcher, so if he struggles, although the Phillies have already come out and said that they're not going to follow a traditional bullpen where they have a labeled closer. Although I don't really know how much that matters in fantasy. I know people are making a big deal out of it, but like honestly, if the game is on the line in the ninth inning, they're going to have their best pitcher and he's going to get a save. There's 162 games. I feel like that's still going to happen in a good chunk of time. And if, you know, the sea dips, lowers, then all the boats lower. I don't know. And it's only one stat. I'm big on relievers that are we can count on for help and ratios rather than their opportunity for saves. But that's just me.
Also, if you're not playing in a league that uses saves and holds, then we're going to have to take your foot and give it to Kelvin Herrera.
Take that foot, give it to Kelvin Herrera. He'll sign a contract with it. Jed Lowrie agreed to a 2-year, $20 million contract with the Mets. What? Did the Mets lineup get good? Right? It's kind of interesting.
I don't know. Yeah, I'll give you interesting. Where is he going to play?
Where is he going to play?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm not really
sure. They got Rosario at short. They got Cano at second. Is he going to play third? They got Todd Frazier. They're going to put him in the outfield?
Todd Frazier is not good, though. Right?
I mean, still hits a bunch of homers.
Yeah, and he walks. I should like him more, but...
He's better than a bench bat. On a major league team though, so he's gonna play. So what is Lowrie gonna do?
I think Lowrie is gonna probably play a mixture of the outfield and third base. That's gonna be my guess. They can move all these guys around. Basically, they can have a solid lineup every day. Their lineup's gonna be deep. I think the biggest concern is gonna be Jeff McNeil. Who is somebody that a lot of people were hyped about coming into the season.
Yeah, I mean, their outfield, though, they have Conforto, they have Nimmo, and they have Ligueras and Broxton in center. So, like, what are they going to do with Lowrie? Unless they're just going to say, fuck Dom Smith again.
Yeah, no, I think Dom Smith's days are numbered. One thing I was thinking is that they might bat Frazier over at first base. And then have Lowrie play third, which then is going to block our good boy, Peter Alonso, from coming up. They're probably going to keep him down for most of April anyways, if not all of April. They're going to keep him down until his Super 2 status is done, and then they get more control, and then he'll come up probably. yeah, I think... I still worry about Jeff McNeil, though. He's an interesting player. Came up last year, only struck out 9.7% of his plate appearances. So the dude makes a ton of contact. Granted, it's not with a ton of authority, but it's a 1.42 ISO. He managed to smack 3 homers in 248 plate appearances. Steamer's got him projected for another 240, and that might be... It still feels low. I gotta think he's gonna play. I don't know. If you own Mets players, they're gonna get hurt anyways, right? They're the Mets.
Yeah, probably. So, yeah, maybe you're right. And Cespedes might not even come back. So, I think you are right that they are interesting. Bullpen is interesting. Outfield's got some depth. They got some youngins in here. It's an interesting squad.
Yeah, when that new GM came and said that they were still competitive, people were quick to kind of laugh him off. But should be interesting. With the Cano trade, the signing of Wilson Ramos. Now Jed Lowrie, Peter Alonso going to make his epic and baseball-destroying appearance at some point. They're going to have an offense, and they definitely already have the pitching with DeGrom, Syndergaard, and Wheeler, who's better than you think. But then it kind of falls off after that. Steven Matz and Jason Vargas. Matz is an injury machine. Dude just can't stay healthy. I will not be burnt by him again. I have owned him on too many teams and had my heart broken too many times. All right, let's keep going. DJ LeMahieu agreed to a two-year, $24 million deal with the Yankees. I think this is a good fit for LeMahieu. Makes things complicated in New York with Didi, Tulo, and Torres all there in the middle, all bunched up in the middle infield there. Andujar, too, as well. I heard Scott White talking about the possibility that Andujar becomes a full-time DH. That would be interesting. And then Giancarlo is in right field and Brett Gardner loses playing time. I like that scenario. Gardner, I know, you know, he's like bleeds Yankee pinstripe, but he's not very good anymore.
No, he is not. That is an interesting rotation to get them all in playing time, though.
Yeah, are they going to cut Tulo? Can Tulo play every day anymore? I don't even know. I don't know exactly what they're doing. I will say that I like this fit for LeMahieu. I'm not a huge fan of his, but he had a power increase last year. Started just hitting the ball out of the park, and he was doing it more often away than he was doing it at home. And so Yankee Stadium, I don't know if you know, but it's a decent place to hit home runs. So he's not someone that I want to invest in dynasty terms, but for a rental, or if you're in a very deep league, just single season, he's a good option at second base. I don't know about those ratios. I bet he hits 260. Are you looking at him right now?
I think he's an interesting guy, but that
just a guy
seems to be as far as it goes. Yeah. I wish that he had signed somewhere where he would have a more clear path to playing time, and I'd be more excited. But I guess it's just wait and see at this point to see how the at-bats are going to shake out, and that's always annoying.
Yeah, and it's similar. Both teams in New York now are just flooded with middle infielders and annoying, trying to speculate, as you can tell of what we've been doing on this podcast, trying to figure out where they're going to play. It's difficult. You don't know. All right, let's move on to the final signing I want to talk about. Well, first I'm just going to say Zach Britton to the Yankees. Good for the Yankees, because Britton is terrible, and I am not a Yankees fan. Sorry, Yankees fans. I don't know why they're re-signing Britton. I know that he hasn't been effective for a while, and he's been injured. Maybe he's going to be fully healthy this year and show us something different, but I don't really understand that signing.
Neither do I.
Yeah, right? It's weird. Brian Dozier, one-year deal with Washington for $9 million. I like this a ton for Washington. Not so much for Brian Dozier, but I like Brian Dozier. I think that he was injured last year. He puts up strong ratios considering his strikeout, walk, and ISO. He's not going to help you in average, but he will give you, you know, mid-20s pop and double-digit steals. With a 330 OBP if you're in an OBP league. I think last year was injured, playing through injury, and he had a significantly worse season than he did, the year prior in 2017 when he hit 34 bombs. But everything else in his batted ball profile looks very much similar. And so I'm hopeful that he has a bounce back this year.
Yeah, me too. And I definitely think that he will.
You too. I thought you didn't like old man Dozier. I'm surprised.
No, I do. I do like him a lot. I unfortunately drafted him in the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational, and so I basically just went out. I bought into the he's only going to miss the first 2 weeks of the season. That didn't work. He didn't come back until like after the All-Star break, so that left a giant hole at second base. But when he came back, it was a slow start, but then he had a pretty solid last couple months, and he looked back to his normal self after being healthy. So this is a great move for Washington. They get a solid power bat in their lineup. It's 1 year, so that gives Kaboom some time to chill, and then he can come up and play second next year.
He's going to be fun. Can't wait for that guy to come up.
Yeah, he is.
All right, that's enough of the signings. Just a quick injury note. Alex Bregman had microscopic elbow surgery. They went in and removed some bone chips. He's hoping to return March 1st. Fantasy impact here is nil. I talked with Dr. Mike Tanner, and it looks like he should be good to go, and he has no real concerns with Bregman. But I thought it was worth mentioning, and also, if you're a Bregman owner, you know, calm down. Everything's all right. You're going to be okay. No worries. He's still freaking amazing. He's still like the Nolan Arenado of the American League. So, any thoughts on that? Zero, I'm assuming. Are you worried?
No, I'm not.
All right, let's dive into our catcher rankings. First, taking a quick look at the 1 through 10, and then we'll pick a player, and we're going to talk about who's overrated, who's underrated, and then we'll each tell you about our favorite catching prospect. So it should be a good time here. So at the top of our list, our consensus list, this was a pretty easy choice. It wasn't who I had ranked as number one. I actually had Gary Sanchez ranked as my number one catcher, but JT Realmuto is our number one catcher. He's a stud. I mean, thanks, neighbor. He's a stud. There's not much to say here. Keaton, you wrote him up. What do you want to say? Anything?
Yeah, he's really good and deserving of the number one. He was my number one. He's continued to get better year over year, and he's going to keep being really good.
He's only 2 years older than Sanchez too, which is surprising to me. I thought he was I thought they had a wider age gap. So, but speaking of Gary Sanchez, he is our number two catcher. While his defense continues to be atrocious, he's still behind the plate for now. He had a terribly unlucky season. Can we both agree to that?
Yeah, absolutely. So writing up his comment, I didn't have any shares of Gary Sanchez, so I wasn't paying close attention to how his year was unfolding. I was just looking at the overall numbers. And then because I did the 1 through 10, I had his comment, so I did more of a deeper dive before writing that out. And it was wild. A 197 BABIP. I don't even really know how that's possible, but he did it, and I would expect that to really self-correct quite a bit, and his average is going to get a lot better, and so is his production.
Yeah, I mean, particularly with his launch angle and exit velocity, you've got to expect that right. Better days are ahead for him.
yeah.
All right, continuing down, number three, pretty easy, Wilson Contreras for the Chicago Cubs. He's 26 years old. He's been very good. Although he had a sort of a down season last year, correct?
A little bit, yeah. Didn't have quite the power numbers we expected.
Yeah, he's got a bit of a ground ball problem, doesn't he? So that's a little concerning. But he's still solid, rock solid at number three. Number four, the always underrated Sal Perez, who is just accumulates stats by just being in the lineup constantly and smacking the ball real hard. He's got to be the most consistent catcher on the list.
Yeah, I agree with that.
At number five, the much-hyped, highly anticipated Francisco Mejia, now playing for the San Diego Padres. I'm still excited about Mejia. I think he can hit, and he's going to play catcher. He just needs the playing time. Hopefully he gets that this year. I know Austin Hedges is an amazing defensive catcher, but Mejia deserves to play. He's 23. And I want to see him playing. He actually held the same rank for 2 years in a row. He was ranked number five last year and ranked number five this year. What do you think his stock is like right now, Francisco Mejia? Do you think he's hard to acquire?
Oh, that's a good question. I think it depends on who owns him. I know there's people who are starting to sour and get fatigued, and there's still people like you that believe in him wholeheartedly. So I think it depends.
Are you not one of those people?
I am not one of those people, no. And I guess we can tease my overrated that we're going to get to after, because my overrated is Mejia. I'm surprised that we ranked him as high as we did. I still had him in my top 10. I had him at number 9, but really that was just having him in the top 10 was because of his tools and his ability, but no one seems willing to let him play and play at catcher. It's even more rare. So I don't know what's going on with him. His whole future is kind of clouded, and maybe things will start to turn around, but five seemed a little aggressive to me on him. Particularly, I can't remember what pod it was, but there was one pod where we talked about how we were way too aggressive with him last year, and then he never even played. We had him at 5, and then Ian asked if that was a lesson to learn, and we were going to come into this year's ranking smarter, and I said probably not, because we like potential and young people, and look what happened. Mejia's back there at number 5. We didn't learn our lesson.
He's in the exact same position. I would like to get Ian's reaction to that. It's just so it's rare to have an offensive, a catcher with offensive potential, although it's becoming more common. On this list there's a lot of really great catching prospects, and that's one thing. The catching field sucks right now, but it's not going to in a few years. It could be quite the opposite, actually. There's quite a few talented catchers on the way. But I disagree with you. Mm-hmm. Maybe we need to make some sort of dumb bet about Mejia. I'm not sure what it'll be.
Over, under 200 at-bats.
Over.
See, I think under.
All right, dumb bet on the board. What do you want to do for a wager?
A Mejia Scherzi.
All right, so number 6, we've got Danny Jansen for the Toronto Blue Jays. This is an exciting ranking to me. I love Danny Jansen. He is the opposite of the Hollywood magic, movie magic, where the girl like takes off her glasses. Danny Jansen put on some glasses, and the dude has been awesome ever since he got his vision corrected. Had a decent run last year too when he was in the majors for a brief period of time. Hit some homers. Didn't help you a whole lot in average, but he showed some good signs with his launch angle. A little worrisome on the exit velocity, but talked to Jim Melcher, who is our data guru over at the Dynasty Guru, and he really likes what he sees in the fly ball batted data for Jansen. So if it's good enough for him, it's good enough for me. I'm buying him wherever I can. You are a bit lower on him, though, yeah?
Yeah, I am a bit lower. I think he's going to be pretty good. I haven't fully bought into the, rebirth of Danny Jansen as much as you have. I think he's an exciting prospect, and he's a good guy to own if you have him. But the price is probably way too high at this point to get him because of, kind of as you said, with the exception of average, he was actually pretty productive in his first cup of coffee. So I just want to see that will continue going forward before I fully buy in.
We'll see. I like what he's got going on. Obviously the whole group does here at the Dynasty Guru if we're ranking him number 6. So, and he is somehow magically above Yasmani Grandal, which is probably wrong in my personal opinion. Grandal is really a fantastic catcher. It's a shame. I know he's 30 years old and everything, but he's so good. He hits the ball so hard. And now he's in Milwaukee. This ranking actually might have been changed because we did these rankings before he had signed. I wonder if there would have been a different consensus had he signed with Milwaukee before.
Maybe. I wonder if this has more to do with people's hype on Jansen and less to do with Grandal's consistency. But I had Jansen at 20, so
wow,
the people were way higher on him than I am.
Yeah, holy goodness, dude. Our individual rankings are all over the place, so
I want to check something real quick. But that's why we get like 13 people to put all these rankings together. It is really fun to see the differences that that some people have over others. But I wanted to just check. Oh, let my cat's back. Danny Jansen. Yeah, I had him ranked the lowest out of everyone at TDG.
You're a Jansen hater. You drink the haterade on him.
Someone had him second. That seems high.
Was it Melcher?
No, it was not.
Oh.
Jordan.
Wow.
Oh, all right. Well, he's all right, new.
Jordan. What does he know? He's brand new. Jordan's a bright guy. We don't mean that. Jordan, you're fine.
He is.
All right, number 8, Wilson Ramos, Mr. Consistency himself. This dude is awesome, playing in New York now. You know, he does pretty much everything you want from a catcher, from an offensive catcher. Not much more to say about him. He's good, right?
Yeah.
Number 9, the love of our life, a shared love, a shared affection for Mr. Joey Bart, who is the heir apparent to, you know, the catching great himself, Buster Posey. We're going to talk more about him later, so I'll save that, but we love Joey Bart up in this podcast, yeah? Yeah, okay, cool.
What was that?
I asked you if we love Joey Bart, and you were silent.
Oh, I heard we love Joey Bart, and then I thought you were going to move on to the next one. All right.
Number 10, Buster Posey, who is still playing catcher in San Francisco. He's been the best catcher forever, but unfortunately the power is going, and he had a concussion last year. He's been dealing with hip injuries. He could be on his way to first base if San Francisco ever gets up the nerve to trade Brandon Belt. But yeah, there are numerous factors, but the main thing is it seems like he's really aging out of his power, and so he's had quite a tumble here in the rankings.
Yeah, I'd like to see one more healthy season out of Buster this upcoming season to really kind of gauge what may happen to him. But I think something that we've speculated for years, knowing that San Francisco played him a lot at first to try and preserve his body, we may now be looking at the true end of Buster Posey, the catcher, which is sad.
Super sad. But inevitable. We all get old and die. So, all right. So let's pick a catcher. I'm going to go off our whole list, the 1 through 20. We're not going to tell you the next 10. You're going to have to go read that article for yourself. But I am going to pull my overrated catcher from the lower half of the list. We have him ranked at number 13. And honestly, I don't know what's low enough for me at this point, but Mike Zunino of the Tampa Bay Rays now, he's 27 years old, and the dude is just nothing but power. He swings and he hits the ball really far, and when he rarely, if ever, makes contact with it. Struck out nearly 40% of the time last year. He strikes out all day, every day, and the strikeout rate is not something new. He does see a lot more pitches per plate appearance than I thought. For someone with such a low average in OBP. And he did have a strong OBP a few years ago. I think back in 2017, he might have posted something like 330. I'm double checking right now. Yeah, that's correct. So back in 2017, he had an OBP of 330. And the seeing of pitches, he sees 4.23 pitches per plate appearance, is encouraging to me. So there's a chance. There's a chance that you get 20 home runs and a 330 OBP. But the steamer projections for him don't look promising at all. And he hasn't been good since, and he wasn't even really, he was good. He was good in 2017, but he hasn't been good since then. 2018 was a real down year for him. He hit 201. Struck out 37% of the time, had an OBP of 259, but he did hit 20 home runs. I'm just not buying it. I know that Ian is really on board with him in Tampa. I am not. What are your thoughts on Zunino?
They're the exact same as you, to be honest with you. I'm not overwhelmed by him. And he's a much better real-life catcher than he is a fantasy player, but he's a guy that I'm not going to go after.
Yeah, I have traded him in all the leagues that I did own him in. I've moved him. I'm just over it. I don't want anything to do with him. So even though 13 is not exactly the highest of rankings for a catcher, you can't put him low enough for me, I don't think.
Yeah, there's a run of prospects behind him, and I would rather wait them out. wait them out for their ETA than now have Zunino on my squad.
Yeah, I absolutely agreed. And who's your underrated? I know who it is. It's Mejia. And so what's your case is basically that his
for future underrated?
For overrated.
Overrated is Mejia, yeah.
Yeah, and you basically laid that out, but just one more time. Tell me what I just can't believe it. Tell me why.
His playing time and the position that he'll end up getting that playing time.
So you think that there's a possibility that he doesn't stick behind the plate?
Yeah, because, I mean, Hedges is, what, 25?
Yeah, so, and he's a great defensive catcher.
What are they going to do? And he has power.
Yeah, but I think that Hedges ends up being a backup catcher and is a defensive replacement later in games. And they can either move Mejia to third. I guess Myers is going back to the outfield now. So I don't know. I think that they've got flexibility there. I disagree with you. We've made our bet. I guess we can move on, yeah.
So if Myers is going back to the outfield, who's playing third?
Great question.
Francisco Mejia.
God, that could be a real possibility, huh?
Yeah, and that's not a great profile at third. He's gonna, yeah, dude, I'm looking at the depth chart right now. Unless they make a move, he's playing third.
We'll see. Regardless, he's still going to get those 200 plate appearances. I'm going to take him.
Yeah, he definitely is. If he's their everyday third baseman, I'll take that loss because it'll still sting to have you wear it. No, he's not a catcher.
Yeah, that's true. He's definitely less valuable as a third baseman, but he will. Hopefully he plays enough behind the plate. We'll see. All right, and the underrated catcher, a dude we both had ranked as our fourth catcher, which means we're quite aggressive on this dude, and that's Joey Bart, who I mentioned we have an affinity for, mutual affinity for. The dude just looks like a gosh darn truck. He's a college bat from Georgia Tech, which is famous for having a few catchers, including Jason Veritek, come out of there. He was the first-round pick by the San Francisco Giants. He had himself a heck of a year last year, smacking 13 homers and 203 plate appearances in low A. So that's like a bajillion homers per plate appearance, I think. 298, 369, 613 with an absolutely outstanding 315 ISO. I'm in love.
Yep, me too. I was a big fan of Bart before he had made his debut, and then he finally got his some play in there in the minors, and boy, did he play.
Yeah, like a robot destroying of baseballs. He does have quite a bit of swing and miss to his game, although he didn't show it really in his playing time, but that's been something that's common in scouting reports, is a concern over his swing and miss. Last year, 19.7 is not great for low A, so we'll see what happens as he gets into double A or high A and see how that K rate. You're going to just want to keep an eye on that, and we'll keep an eye on it and tell you about it because we love him. Who is your underrated catcher, Keaton?
Omar Narvaez was splitting time as the White Sox catcher last year, and then the second half of the season took over full time. He's 26 and was traded to Seattle, so he is now Seattle's everyday catcher. He could hit the ball a lot better than you would think. So he had 97 games last year and a 275 average and a 366 OBP. he gets on base a bunch. He loves to walk. So he had 9 homers in 97 games. So 15 doesn't seem all that out of reach. And for a guy that's going to get on base a crap ton with that, that's a pretty solid catcher. We had him ranked 30th in our consensus list. And for my personal list, I had him 14. So I'm very high on him.
I like him too. He's interesting. I clearly don't like him quite as much as you. I think for deeper leagues, he's a fantastic plug and play. You can just plug him into your catcher position and not worry about it. Because the one thing about catcher is it can be a negative factor on your team, sort of, you know, draining your team of ratios. And to have a strong OBP like that, you know, good news for your catcher. They don't necessarily need to provide much else. And do you think he can provide much else?
Yeah, for sure. Especially with, well, maybe Mariners lineup now probably looks about the same as the White Sox did last season. But yeah, he's going to hit some homers. He's going to add some counting stats in there. So he's got, I mean, it's not outstanding counting stats, but he has outstanding ratios to go with average counting stats. That's a good body of work.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like him. He's interesting.
You know what he has that Mejia doesn't?
What does he have?
A clear path to playing time.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. All right.
Oh, wait. And we have...
What?
We have a mail-in underrated from Adam.
Oh, yeah? What's he got?
He says it to me in the chat. He says, even though ranked number one, you are underrated at the little bitch rankings.
Great. You know who's a little bitch? And who's not here? Adam. Just want to say that.
Yeah, even right, driving like 32 hours in the past 2 days, Adam wanted to make sure that he got that zinger in for you.
Great. I hate Adam. He's great. That's all I've got. I love hate him. Where are we?
Prospect.
Right, yeah. Our favorite catching prospect. Clearly, our favorite catching prospect is Joey Bart.
Indeed.
And catching prospects are sort of the second worst thing to pitching prospects in that they're quite risky. They take a long time to develop and generally don't pan out. But there's a lot of really interesting ones. It's really hard to resist being intrigued by them. Let's have you go first this time, Keaton. Who's your dude? Who's your sure. favorite catching prospect that's not Joey Bart?
Mine is another draftee from this past season, Bo Naylor. He really intrigues me. He had a pretty decent run in 33 games in some instructional league. Hit .274, had a .381 OBP. He walked 21 times to 28 strikeouts, and that's pretty impressive for even for a young catching prospect to be able to walk that many times and strike out that little. So didn't show much in the way of power in that small sample. Only hit 2 home runs, but also stole 5 bases. So if it's a long way out as an 18-year-old, but his first debut here into pro ball went pretty darn well. And he's a guy that going forward, I'm going to be watching very closely to watch how the OBP changes as he moves up levels and see where the steals go. I mean, if he got 5 in 33 games, albeit instructional league, you know, there's a chance we could have a 20 steal catcher on our hands here, which is a little outrageous. So he's a guy that I'm going to be watching pretty close.
Interesting. Yeah. How many at bats did he get last year?
117.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm into it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My dude, similar, has a bit of speed as well. Ronaldo Hernandez, or I don't know if he's really got speed, but he did steal 10 bases last year. So that's enough speed for me. He is a Tampa Bay catcher in A-ball, 21 years old. last year just was outstanding, really broke out. 7% walk rate, 15.4K, 210 ISO. Managed to smack 21 bombs in the Midwest League, which is a not really great place to hit homers. I think there were only three other players that managed to accomplish that feat last year. Slashed 284, 339, 494, put up a WRC plus of 133, and then, like I mentioned, the 10 steals. Like, the Rays need another breakout prospect, but they've got one in Hernandez. I'm really interested in him. Tried to trade for him recently, but was shut down from our mutual friend DJ. I tried to trade him Tyler White for Ronaldo Hernandez. I thought he would have taken it, but he didn't. This just makes me sad. Anyways, yeah, that's my catching prospect. Go out and get him.
So one last note on the state of the position. Kind of, you got into it a bit in the beginning, and we both see the same thing in the catcher position. So I just wanted to reiterate it.
Yeah, please.
Not so great now, but there are so many very interesting catching prospects that is going to change pretty quickly. I'm excited for the state of the position, direction that's heading. Since it had been headed into the toilet for so many years, it finally looks like things are turning around, and MLB teams want good catchers, so they're investing in them now, and that's fun. That's fun for everyone.
Yeah, the offensive skills. I mean, you've got guys like Carlos Ruiz, who's going to be, I probably said that name wrong, but he's coming up, probably this year, probably be a September call-up or later in the year. Dalton Varshu, who's a guy I really love, power speed combo. Andrew Nitzer, Nisner.
Yes.
What did I say?
Nitzner.
Yeah, you tell me that's not right. Oh, yes. Another guy that Adam and I fought for that didn't get. Higher ranking, even though I think he should have, is Zach Collins of the White Sox, man. If you're in an OBP league, I think that guy's going to be a beast. I just love him. I love him to pieces. Will Smith is another catching. There's just so many good catching prospects. I totally agree with you. The position is going to change within a few years. Right now, we look at it as this sort of cesspool of garbage. But it's going to change. Just have patience and go get yourself a good catching prospect for your dynasty league.
I'm holding four catchers on my farm in Tino right now.
Who are you holding?
Excessive. I am holding Miguel Amaya, Andrew Nisner, MJ Melendez, and Connor Wong.
I love Connor Wong.
The Dodgers are surprisingly loaded at catcher.
Yeah, and I want to say too that I think that Barnes is going to have a bit of a bounce back. I really do. I know that everybody is pretty much left him for dead, but he was playing through injury last year. He had an elbow injury, and I wonder if that affected his playing time, because his batted ball data was not the same as it was when he broke out. So I'll be curious to see.
No, not at all.
I'll be curious to see. Like, he lost exit velocity. He lost his launch angle. I really will be curious to see if he has any kind of bounce back next year.
I think he was getting frustrated by that too, because he wasn't as patient at the plate as he was the previous two seasons, where he, really kind of pushed himself out on the scene. So, I think I tend to agree with you. I am hopeful on Barnes, but the good news is not going to take much for him to outproduce what he did last year. So,
Yeah, definitely not. The bad news for him is that there are two fairly talented young catchers coming up in Will Smith and Calbert Ruiz. So
we'll see what happens there. A nice old one who is probably going to be starting the year as a starter. Oh, we didn't mention that one. I guess we can now. Didn't Russell Martin what? Signed with the Dodgers.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we missed that one when we were going through the signings. But, yeah, hey, better late than never.
Yeah. One other guy. Listen, if you're on Twitter right now, you need to do yourself a favor and just search Willens Astudillo and look at his home run in Winter League, because holy goodness, is it the best thing you'll ever see. You're going to lose your mind. the arrogance.
I love him so much.
Me too. He's got to be one of, if not the most fun player in the MLB, maybe in the top five. We should do that. We should rank the most fun players sometime.
We should. I think it is a travesty we landed him at 17. I had him right on the cusp of the top 10 and probably should have had him in the top 10. But he's just, there's no way you can dislike this guy. And if you dislike this guy, you should probably go kill yourself. Because he's amazing, and everyone loves him.
Well, you know, we don't actually want you to kill yourself. Please don't do that. But do like Astudillo, because he's freaking incredible and just a joy. I think my wife is going to fall in love with him. I'm actually a little worried about it. She's a huge Bartolo Colon fan, so there's a possibility that she gets into Astudillo, I think, her kind of man.
I mean, he's literally the position player version of Bartolo Colon.
I know. He just, like, he knows what he is, you know? Like, him and Bartolo, just, like, they're two guys that, like, are just super comfortable in their own skin and just, yeah.
They get it.
Yeah, they do get it, man. Fun players. All right, before we wrap this up, is there any other player that you want to talk about?
Let me give it a quick scansies.
I've got one. Francisco Cervelli. I just love him. He changed his batted ball profile last year, increased his fly ball percentage, and hit more home runs. I know he's a bit old, but I think there could be something really special there. The biggest problem with him is, one, he might move from behind the plate to first base. Two, he gets injured often. And three, he's kind of old. But the batted ball stuff is really encouraging to me, and I think that he's going to be a force next year. This year. It's 2019. Happy New Year, dude.
Oh, yeah. Happy New Year. Wait, do I have to, like, wait a month?
No. Well, yeah. I mean, in a few weeks, you can wish me another Happy New Year in a few weeks.
All right.
Yeah.
So, happy first New Year.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah.
We're referring to Chinese New Year, by the way, if you're curious.
Yeah, because you live in China. Same.
So that's the second year. Anyways. So that's my dude. You got anybody else?
Yeah. So actually, Elias Diaz, who was splitting time with Cervelli last season, in the at-bats that he got, he did pretty well. And he's actually my starting catcher in TDGX2, which, that team needs some work. But I like him a lot. So if you're right about Cervelli getting moved off to go somewhere else, that'd be great, because I would want Diaz to get all the at-bats that he can, because I think he is a pretty talented catcher.
Yeah, he is interesting. Does he have platoon issues? I seem to remember him having a bit of platoon issues. Yeah, so he batted 257 against right-handers last year. He's a force with lefties. He hit almost 350, but he struggles a bit with the righties. So,
hey, 260 at a catcher is not nothing to sneeze at if you look at the state of the catching position.
And he did hit for a little bit more pop off right-handers in both home runs and doubles. So, yeah, no, he is interesting. I'm with you.
He is an interesting fellow.
You're an interesting fellow.
We need sound effects for, like, when we dub something, whatever. So, like, interesting guy. He's an interesting guy. We need more sound effects in this pod.
Let's get all morning show on this.
He's just a dude.
That dude is a dude.
Underrated. All right,
underrated. Top pod spec'd.
See, we need way more sound effects in this.
We don't have any sound effects. We don't even have a soundboard. We're just two guys recording on other sides of the world talking about catchers.
That sounds like a sitcom. I'd watch it.
You got a name for it?
Two guys in a podcast. No, that's not good. The Nope. Boy. You know what? Let's. Nope. Can we come to the next pod? I'll have one.
Here's the thing. I got it. If this makes the pod, which I have a feeling it will, let's get the listeners in on this. If you happen to listen to this podcast and you can think of a great sitcom name for us, please submit it to @DynastiesChild on Twitter, or send it to @DynastiesChildPod@gmail.com. Sound good to you, Keaton?
Yeah.
All right, let's close this thing out. This has been Dynasty's Child, part of the Dynasty Guru website. I've been your host, Patrick Magnus. You can find all of us at the Dynasty Guru, where Keaton has written.
I wrote catcher comments and second base comments, which I think second base is being posted this week. And then I also did a what Dynasty owners can learn from the Profar trade on the very first ever column for or piece for the recurring column Keaton It Real, which is my weekly jam when we get rolling in here in the regular season, and the same as I did last year, I added haikus to all my write-ups. I highly suggest checking out the Joey Barton Buster Posey ones. I think those ones are my favorite so far.
Yeah, we actually both did comments for catchers 1 through 20, so if you want to go read our sitcom instead of listen to it, you can check it out there.
Patrick didn't do haikus, though, because he's lame.
No haikus, just straight-up analysis from this nerd. I have written tons of comments, first-base comments, catcher comments, working on third-base comments. Then I'm doing shortstop. And also just recently wrote risers and fallers for outfield for Dynasty Leagues. You can check that out if you'd like. You can find me on Twitter @TheGreenMagnus. That's MAGNUS for my last name, @TheGreenMagnus. Keaton, where can they find you?
Find me @TheSpokenKeats. You can also find me in bed, tucked under the covers, all warm, hiding from Patrick wanting to record at 6 a.m. Or you can find me anywhere you get your local herbal teas.
Herbal? That's all I heard was, yep. Herbal. All right.
Teas. Herbal teas.
Teas. Herbal teas. I forgot about that bit. I'm glad you brought it back.
Me too.
you can find the missing Jake Devereaux at @DevJake.
Or can you? Because he's missing.
Ooh. You can.
Burn.
You can find our producer at the StatCast Era, Adam Lawler, who is a little bitch. He should just change his tag to little bitch Adam Lawler. And that's going to do it for us today, right?
I think that's too many characters.
I wasn't serious. Or was I?
I think you sounded pretty serious.
Yeah, I'm a pretty serious guy. All right, that's going to do it. Have an awesome day. And as always, be the best bird dog you can be.